recently downloaded a new app on my phone. It's called All Trails, and it gives excellent information regarding, you guessed it, all trails. With a paid membership, you get an amazing overview of pretty much any trail you might want to hike or bike. The app is user-friendly and has obviously been put together by knowledgeable explorers who have navigated the terrain and know it well. It provides detailed descriptions, a video preview of the trail, pictures of points of interest along the way, details on the length and difficulty, and very helpful comments and reviews from other explorers who've been on the trail. It's a really wonderful tool to help nature lovers choose new trails with confidence. I really love exploring my world, and I'm usually up for an adventure, but it really is nice when I have an idea of the difficulties that I might face along the way. Now, looking at our psalm for today, I see another type of trail app or map for our walk as Christians. It begins with the resume of our trail guide or app creator. Verse 1 reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In Hebrew, this verse only has three words: Lord, Yahweh, the personal name of God; shepherd, which is the word ra, meaning shepherd, or pasture, or graze, and which in essence refers to the character and provision of God; and want, kaser, which means to lack, be in need, be lacking, decrease. So how does the translation into English end up with "I shall not want"? Well, it's really in the name and character, the first two words, of our trail guide. God gave Moses his personal name, Yahweh, for a couple of reasons. One, that he be known, that his people could call upon him by name. And two, that his name, that he, would be remembered, revered, renowned. This tells us that our God isn't a detached, unknowable entity. He is the Lord, fully knowable and renowned, not to be forgotten or set apart. And speaking of names, the name of our good shepherd is an expansion of God's name. Jesus means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. Transliterated from Hebrew and Aramaic, the name is Yeshua, a combination of Yah, Yahweh, and the verb Yasha, meaning rescue, deliver, save. That's quite a power-packed beginning to our trail guide's resume. As I indicated before, the word shepherd speaks of the Lord's character and provision. A good shepherd is intimately aware of his sheep's surroundings. He's not only vigilant to protect and maintain the health of his sheep in their current pasture, he's also diligent to scout out new territory and make sure it's safe. He knows every inch of where he will be taking his sheep next. In essence, he's a trailblazer. He makes a new track through wild country. And it's the essence of our Lord's name and character that modifies the translation to say, "I shall not want." And just as his name and character modifies that sentence, relying upon him, his name, his character, modifies our lives. It's important for us as we live this temporal life to always predicate whatever challenge or trial we face with his name and character. It helps us to turn our focus away from our wants and lean into his provision. So now that we've established the credibility of our good shepherd, our trailblazer, we can begin exploring. Verse 2 says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." This verse is not describing the rocky trails we may currently be on. It's pointing us to where the Good Shepherd knows we need to be. This world seems to have an endless supply of trials and tribulations, uphill climbs that feel like they'll never end. When you've trudged as far as you think you can go, Jesus is there to lend us his strength and guide us to greener pastures. Now, one of the reasons I have confidence in our Good Shepherd and trail guide is that I'm sure he has experienced these rocky paths himself. He came to earth and lived life in full humanity. He wasn't just God. I got an image of this recently in an episode of The Chosen that I watched. If you're not familiar with the program, it's a really well-done series on the life of Jesus and his disciples. Anyway, the episode I watched revolved around a day in the life of his ministry. We don't see Jesus most of the time in the episode. We just hear about him from his followers as they discuss what he's doing and complain about the lines of needy people that never seems to end. In the conversations between the disciples, we get an understanding of their cultural preconceived notions about what the Messiah came to do. None of them expected that he would spend his whole day healing people. Now, by the end of the day, all his followers are sitting around the campfire, very much focused on their temporal wants and needs, kind of like we do. In fact, their conversation has devolved into a heated argument. Into this scene walks an exhausted, completely drained Jesus. All day, he has poured out his life on behalf of those in need, and his human body has borne the brunt of his sacrifice. He's too bone-tired to do anything but stumble to his tent. The dichotomy between their selfishness and his selflessness was deeply moving, and it really pointed out to me what he gave. And though this scene is not specifically detailed in Scripture, it bears witness to the truth of how much our great shepherd gave of himself, how much energy he had to have spent to heal so many people and care for his sheep. There were many times noted in Scripture that Jesus went off by himself to pray and rest. He understood the toll that life takes upon the body, far more than any of us ever could. He intimately understands what we are all faced with every day. Thus, why he guides us, as our trail app says, through the trials and rocky paths to lie down in green pastures and walk with him by still waters. Verse 3 follows perfectly after this previous verse. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Rest and restoration is what our good shepherd wants for us, what he blazed a trail for us to have. As Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The good news, the gospel, tells us just exactly how Jesus accomplished our restoration. He lived the life we never could, experienced every rocky path and treacherous trail, but never lost his way. It is his righteousness that's referenced in this verse. His name, the Lord saves, Yeshua, goes before us, covers us, protects us on all the paths that we walk. In Romans, Paul talks about us being buried with Christ by baptism into his death, so that we might walk in his newness of life. Because we believe in him and have been reborn into his body, into his new life, we can follow those righteous paths. This is our witness. As we live into his greatness, his goodness, his mercy, his salvation, we're witnessing to his name. How good is that? How good is he? And as this verse indicates, he's the one leading us. We're not doing it by ourselves. It is Good Shepherd Sunday, right? Now, by living, we've established that dying and rising again, Jesus forged a connection between our flesh and his divinity. He bested that which has plagued humanity since Adam and Eve, death. Which leads us to verse 4. Funny how that works. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I hate to tell you, we all will walk this path at least once. But for most of us, this will be a trail that we reluctantly revisit many times in this life. Thankfully, our good shepherd, our great trailblazer, has already traveled this path and made a way for us through it. He suffered death so that we might have life. And he not only suffered that final permanent death that we will never have to face, he also experienced the grief that shadows this valley. John chapter 11 details our Lord's friend Lazarus dying, and how distraught his sisters were that Jesus hadn't been there to keep him from death. When Jesus was confronted with their grief, he wept. Even though he knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, Jesus still wept for the loss of his friend and for how that loss affected those that loved him. He experienced the grief we feel. He mourned as we mourn. But because he blazed a trail for us through the wilderness of death and came back to be our good shepherd, we can mourn with hope. And we can experience his comfort in the midst of it. Sorry. He is with us. And it's okay to mourn, even though we have hope. Jesus mourned, and he certainly had hope. Well, verse 5, our trail map, takes a little turn. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. A friend of mine recently reminded me that to sit down to table with someone in the ancient world was to express your commitment to have a positive relationship with them. To sit down with an enemy meant to have peace. Having a meal also together had the connotation of being part of a family. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but every Sunday we experience this peace and time with family at our Lord's table. Yeshua instituted this. He prepared it, and we share in it each week. It's a weekly break from our travels, a rest stop, if you will, for our renewal and our reminder. We are anointed with the Holy Spirit, the oil of gladness, as we spend time worshiping and remembering what our Lord has done for us. Truly, our cup runneth over. And we come to our final verse on our trail map. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This verse connotes movement. We're still on the trail. Our good shepherd and trailblazer is still guiding us, and his goodness and mercy is hemming us in. I'm picturing a couple of trusty Labradors. I might even get me a dog's name, the goodness and mercy. You know, they've got our back, and we can feel safe that they're walking with us. Goodness and mercy are following us. And the last part of our trail map indicates not only our final destination, but also our current gift. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Starting the minute we step out in faith on the path, the life path that he has set before us. Psalm 23 reassures us that none of the trails in our lives are uncharted. There isn't one area which Jesus is not intimately familiar. If he didn't experience it during his time on earth in his human body, and I'm thinking mainly of female challenges, he already knew it fully, though. As it says in the Gospel of John, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That means us. If anyone can know the landscape of what we face, it would be the creator, author, and maker of this world and us. Now, when I memorized this psalm in my first decade of life, obviously the King James F version, I had no clue what that meant for me. God's word, Jesus, Yeshua, was downloaded into my mind. Though I was an atheist, it seeped into my heart and my soul, and he has been guiding and shepherding me ever since. If you haven't downloaded his app, accepted his love, his truth, his saving grace, and applied it to your life yet, I wholeheartedly recommend that you do so today. Let him blaze a trail to your heart and trust that he will guide and guard, restore and renew, comfort and protect you on your journey in this life and in the life to come. That's the promise that's revealed in our psalm for today and in the whole book of his life. Every word of Scripture bears witness to our trailblazer, our good shepherd, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who makes a way, who is the way. Thanks be to God.